doctors know what's best for you. Oh, you're depressed. You seem to be down in the dumps. Let's just give you a little Prozac pill here, and everything is going to be just fine. Luvox, one of the other serotonin inhibitors. And, of course, what people must understand is that these drugs have tremendous and terrible side effects. And Amy certainly knows because she's a victim of the drugs. Amy, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you give a little bit of your background. Who are you, and why are you speaking out on the danger of the psychotropic drug?
Well, I'm a mom of two, and I live in Texas. I used to be a school teacher, and before that I was pretty active in sorority. I was a pretty happy person, but when I had my first baby, he had a really scary start in life, and he almost died when he was 3 days old. We were giving him a bottle of formula because this doctor had told us that it might help him with his jaundice, and I was nursing him, but he threw it up. And then a couple of hours later, I had brought him into the hospital because he looked like he was turning blue. And as soon as we got to the hospital, he started to throw up again, whatever was in his stomach from that bottle. But it got stuck on the way up, and he started turning red and purple. And they had to do, like, back blows and stick tubes in his nose and his throat, turn him upside down. And if I hadn't been at the hospital when I got there, I don't know what would have happened to him. Or, you know, if I hadn't taken him to the hospital at all, he could have just, like, choked in his sleep and died when he was 3 days old. So I had a panic attack the next day, and then a nurse came to my house to check on me because I had just given birth, and she was supposed to do, like, a home visit. And she decided that since I had a panic attack, that meant I needed to go get a prescription for some drugs from my OBGYN. And my OBGYN didn't really take any time to talk to me. He just said, oh, well, if the home health nurse wants you on drugs, then that's what you need. And he went and got me some samples. And I took Zoloft for 3 days before
Hold that thought for just a moment there. All right, Amy, go back again.
Okay. I was on Zoloft for 3 days.
Zoloft, okay.
On the third day, I was carrying my son down the hallway to lay him down. And I look over, kind of glancing down the stairs, and there was a visual hallucination of myself standing on the stairs holding Isaac and throwing him down to the bottom of the floor down on the second level, or on the first level of the house. So after that happened, I went to the psychiatric hospital the next day. They put me in for a couple of days, and they tried to give me more drugs. But eventually I got off of them, and I was on them for 5 months before I finally stopped. And I had, like, homicidal thoughts towards my baby, like, every single day, almost all day long. And it was so bad that I was, like, imagining doing murders of my entire family and my pets, and then suicide.
Yeah, well, I think that people really don't understand that these psychotropic drugs often will give people homicidal and suicidal thoughts. So why are we giving that? You always say, well, it's only a small percentage of the people. Yes, and there's only a small percentage of the people that go in and scoot up the schools, but certainly so many of the people involved in these mass murders have been taking these drugs that are given to help them. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Amy Philo, and Amy, actually, I had a child, first child and second child, I'm not certain which, but you know, the child almost died simply from regurgitating their food, and she had a panic attack the following day, and then the nurse came by and said, oh, well, my goodness, you need to get, onto some psychiatric drugs. And so she went to a doctor, and he gave her some Zoloft, and then, of course, this led to all the more complications, and she ended up being admitted to a psychiatric hospital and taking all these psychiatric drugs, and the more she took, the worse she got. And so eventually she just took herself off of those, and how are you doing now, Amy?
I'm like a normal person again. I mean, once I got off of Zoloft, within about 2 weeks from the last day that I ever took one, I was, like, suddenly, like, myself again. I wasn't feeling like out of control or having constant homicidal thoughts towards my family. So I was very relieved to know I wasn't actually crazy.
And I think that basically what Amy says is that, you know, when she was on these psychotropic medications, why she was having homicidal thoughts, she was having, you know, wanted to kill her child, that she and of course suicidal things. And this is well known that certain people cannot take these medications and they get homicidal and suicidal ideas. And certainly if you look at all these people who are going into our schools and shooting them up, there was one just the other day, and it was said, oh my goodness, he'd been off his medication for about a week. Well, of course, once you get on these, it's very difficult to get off. And whether it be at Columbine, whether it be at Virginia Tech, whether it be on so many of these shootings, it's either Ritalin or the serotonin serum uptake inhibitors. And of course, certainly Amy has experienced this sort of thing. And you actually would have thought of actually killing your child?
Yeah, it was constant. I mean, at first when I had the hallucination, I was only on 50 milligrams and I'd only been on it for 3 days. I was more suicidal because I was really, really scared that I had had this hallucination, and I was scared I was about to snap, and I was afraid that I wouldn't know what I was doing, so I felt like I had to kill myself to protect my baby. And then they were like, well, you just need to take more Zoloft because you're probably getting postpartum depression and you need to get up to a higher dose as soon as you can. So I raised it to 100 milligrams. And when that happened, it was like all the homicidal thoughts towards my baby became worse.
Hold up. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Stand back here. Our guest is Amy Philo, and Amy is simply telling her story of what happened when she was on Zoloft, and of course when she told them that she was having these thoughts, homicidal and suicidal thought, they wanted told her to take more and more and more until finally she decided the only way she was going to survive was to quit taking those. And did you have to wean yourself off of them over a long period of time, Amy, or could you just quit cold turkey?
Well, I decided to wean off of it, and I was on 150 milligrams at the time, so I went down to 100, and so that was like about 2 weeks before I could get in to see the psychiatrist. And when I went in to see her, she told me that I could go cold turkey, and that there weren't any problems with that other than flu-like symptoms and nausea, but that it's probably better to wean. And I really didn't trust her at all, so I didn't want to do cold turkey, so I weaned off of it because I had already felt some of the withdrawal symptoms, which is totally increased psychosis and increased, like, uncomfortable, like, akathisia and increased homicidal thoughts and suicidal thoughts. And eventually, I think it took, like, about a month, and I got off of it. I'd only been on it for about 4 months when I started weaning off of it.
And see, what is pretty so unconscionable is the drug companies knew about the homicidal and suicidal thoughts, and they did not tell the doctor. So when a patient comes in and says, gee, I'm having homicidal and suicidal thoughts, usually this is downplayed. Oh, my goodness, take more medicines. Well, fortunately, of course, Amy was to get off this on her own. Once you get onto these medications, they're very difficult and they're very dangerous to get off. This is why, suddenly, this is not like taking an aspirin. This changes the whole metabolism of your brain. And so, Amy, now that she's off and is a normal person again, she is out there trying to get people to understand the danger of these medications. Do we have any idea how many people get these homicidal and suicidal thoughts?
I think that the risk of becoming suicidal, like, not completing the action of suicide, but feeling suicidal. According to Dr. Healy's book, Let Them Eat Prozac, it said that it's increased 2,000 times.
I know. Now, what is this doctor's name and what is his book?
Dr. David Healy. It's called Let Them Eat Prozac.
Dr. David Huey, H-U-E-Y?
H-E-A-L-Y, Healy. And he has a website, too. It's HealyProzac.com.
All right, fine. And I think it's so important that certainly we've talked to Dr. Ann Blake, Therese Tracy, we've talked to others, trying to warn the American people against these drugs. Now, people say, well, my goodness, if there's anything wrong there, the FDA would be there to protect me. No, the FDA is not. The FDA gets paid by the by the drug companies, and if you've read Dr. David Graham's testimony about Vioxx, he was in charge of safety. He figured that between 60 and 160,000 Americans were going to die of a heart attack or a stroke as a direct result of Vioxx, and everything was done by his FDA superiors to prevent him from getting that information out. You can actually read his testimony on my website at RadioLiberty.com. That was Vioxx. Unfortunately, we have people in government who are not there to really protect the public. They have a different agenda. After all, aren't there too many people in the world anyway? Wouldn't we be better off if we didn't have so many people? Or maybe they're just simply motivated by the money, or maybe it's because they're going to get a good job with the drug companies when they retire, if, of course, they toe the line and don't make a problem. Well, anyway, of course, we're talking to Amy Philo today about her experience on psychotropic drugs. Amy, have you talked to a lot of other people who've had problems on this?
Yeah, over the past almost 4 years. Well, my son's almost four. He was my first. But I first started doing research, and I found a lot of people that had similar problems on the drugs. That's what really made me feel a whole lot better, and like I knew I could have more children and that I wasn't going to get a recurrence of PPD because my doctors actually told me not to have more children and that I was going to get it worse next time. But I had a baby 2 years after that, and I had him at home. I gave birth at home, and I haven't had any problems.
Well, of course, I think, really, you know, we remember a few years ago when there was a woman who had postpartum depression, and she drowned all five of her children. She was on these psychotropic drugs, but this wasn't brought out at the trial, that these drugs will actually make you homicidal, will make you, of course, suicidal, and of course, but they could not let the American people know that, because Prozac is one of the most profitable drugs you can imagine. And if you don't think that they're more interested in profit than they are in protecting people, why, of course, you are incredibly naive. And I hate to say that, but that's really the... Unfortunately, you're going to have to look after your own health in times like this, because we've lost the moral foundation for our country. There is no longer any right. There's not any wrong. The ultimate goal is, what's the bottom line as far as the profit is concerned? Are you going to get a big bonus because, of course, your products are selling well, and, of course, it's your stock, and your stock option is going to go up in value. And this is really what goes on. And if you doubt that, we carry a book by Dr. Marshall Angel, who's on the staff at Harvard. And, of course, she was the editor of the most prestigious medical journal in the United States, the New England Journal of Medicine. We carry a book, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. What you should know about the drug companies. And what you should really know is what they did to Marshall Angel, because he had Dr. Marshall Angel, because he had the courage to write that. And they were tracking her. I even debated somebody from the drug industry who admitted they were keeping track of everything she did. And believe me, you're not supposed to get this information out. Amy, you've been speaking out for some time on this. Have you come under any pressure at all?
I've been harassed by certain people. I haven't felt as though I was being followed or anything, but who knows what they're doing. I mean, there's really no way for me to know. But I just keep doing it anyway because I know that it's the truth, and if they ever did anything to hurt me, it would be pretty obvious.
All right, fine. Well, I think that, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand we're talking about billion-dollar industries, and, of course, psychotropic drugs are a billion-dollar industry, and the last thing they want is for the doctors to know the truth. The doctors, most of them, are there to help you. They really are. But there's so much there. Of course, we find out now that the people at Merck, would write scientific papers on the various drugs they wanted to get, accepted by the doctors, and then they would hire a physician with a well-known name and put his name on the paper that Merck Company had written, as if it had been written by that doctor, and put it out and convince doctors all across the country that their product was good. Well, of course, it really wasn't good. They were just going to use that prestige of a well-known physician, a well-known physician who was willing to accept a large sum of money to use his name at the head of an article on research that he had not done. It was all done to influence and get these drugs on the market rather than to help the people. And unfortunately, when a nation loses its moral foundation, no man's life or property or family are safe. Well, Amy, certainly, have you talked to other people who've actually had similar problems?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of their stories on my website. And, I mean, I've met a lot of people online, either just informally or formally or personally in my circle of friends who've had the same thing.
Now, Zoloft works like Prozac. Is it one of these serum serotonin reabsorption inhibitors? How does it work?
It essentially kills brain cells that would help you get serotonin out of your body and out of your brain, and raises the level artificially. And Dr. Anne Blake Tracy's book explains that when you have high levels of serotonin in your brain, that's what causes depression, not low levels like they market it to be. And you can measure the metabolized serotonin. Metabolized serotonin has a different chemical name than the kind in your brain, and that's the kind that's low.
And okay, we have several interviews with Dr. Anne Blake Tracy on the subject of Prozac. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to get those, why, let me recommend them to you. She's done a lot of great work, and she's written a book on Prozac. Have you read her book?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
Is it a good book?
Oh, yeah. It's probably the best book out there on SSRIs and psychiatric drugs.
All right, fine. Now, have you talked to other people who've had suicidal and homicidal thoughts after taking these medications?
Yeah, I have. And, in fact, like, if you start doing what I'm doing and you go around, and I'm campaigning against a bill right now called the Mother's Act.
Why don't you tell our listeners about the Mother's Act, because I think it's so vitally important. This is one of the most diabolical things I've ever heard. You explain to our listeners what it's about.
Well, there's several, probably like 20 different major mental health groups that are funded by pharma, different medical organizations, and they're all pushing for a bill that is going to institute mandatory psychiatric screening of pregnant women and postpartum women, with referral of any woman who's considered at risk for depression or shows warning signs of depression to a mental health care provider. And the bill says that medication is necessary and that you can't recover from postpartum depression without it.
Well, of course, what they're really saying is that since every woman might very well get a postpartum depression, the vast majority of pregnant women in the United States today should be placed on one of these serotonin-elevating medications. And this is to mandate that they would be recommended to be put on that. This is the thing that really disturbed me about the bill, that it required your physicians and healthcare providers to recommend that the women get onto this. What's it going to do to their child? What are the long-term effects as far as their unborn child? Do we have any idea?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was doing some research to write an article a couple of days ago on the spontaneous abortions. So I was going back through and looking at all the studies that I've looked at over the years on spontaneous abortions caused by the drugs, and it doubles the rate of spontaneous abortion if you're taking an antidepressant.
Now, I think that's such an important issue. Basically, what they're telling, you know, healthcare providers, is it true that they're going to mandate that they recommend this to their patients?
Well, we already have forced treatment, and if a woman is considered at risk of hurting her child, which is pretty easy to, like, say, because, I mean, if you're sad and tearful, then the cops can come pick you up and say, oh, you're depressed, and take you to the hospital. I actually read a position paper from the ACOG that said one-third of all pregnant women in the country are on.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, Amy, you go right ahead. You were just saying that one-third of the women certainly would be eventually put onto some sort of psychotropic drug if this medication, if this legislation went through.
We already have one-third of the pregnant women in our country on psychiatric drugs.
Are they ready at the present time?
Right. And another medical organization I was reading the other day, they actually promote giving different antidepressants in order to help prevent women from becoming depressed.
Right.
While they're pregnant, they're supposed to give them SSRIs, and this medical organization is promoting that there's no danger to the baby or the mother, but it's totally lies. I mean, if you just go to my website, I have dozens of studies listed on there from medical people, like, about all the dangers.
Well, now, what about the danger to the child? If, I mean, assuming that it survives the abortion, that occurring, you mentioned the miscarriage, instance of miscarriages twice, and the people who are on psychiatric drugs. But then, of course, if you are pro-abortion, there's nothing wrong with that. But basically, what happens to the mind of that child who, during the formative stages, is placed onto these drugs that alter the serotonin level of the brain? What does that do to the formation of the brain?
It can cause lifelong depression or anxiety for the baby. They've done studies on infant rats that were given these drugs and they were anxious throughout their lives. Also, the stillbirth rate is doubled and the preterm birth rate is quintupled. And then there's a disease called PPHN, which is a lung problem where the blood doesn't get enough oxygen and doesn't flow correctly in the body, and that is extremely high on antidepressants. These babies can die. Even if they make it out of the womb, they can still die either right after birth or like by the time they're five. And then there are heart problems that can be life-threatening, and I have one friend who has a son that has a heart defect caused by Paxil. And I know there are many more cases out there just like his. And these women were told by their doctors that there's no risk.
And, of course, the thing is that the doctor really doesn't know there's a risk because he's not being told about these studies. Are these studies published in peer-reviewed publications?
I believe so. I would have to go double-check on that, but it's pretty well-known, and there are lots of lawsuits being filed for them. So, and I've seen it in many different newspapers as well, and I think what's going on is that the doctors are just trying to minimize it.
Well, the doctors really don't know. I mean, they're told this is what you're supposed to do. In fact, what this legislation is to put into law, so the doctor is forced to go along with this. Isn't that really what the law is about?
If the doctor doesn't do it, then he's going to feel like the government's going to come after him if something happens to that woman. So, I mean, he's going to have to... I was told by one congressional aide that this could possibly get doctors off the hook because if they fill out a checklist, then they won't be responsible for anything that happens to the woman.
Well, of course, what is the checklist going to talk about? I mean, what is the checklist going to say that if you're depressed, you ought to be on antidepressant or what?
I think it's just a checklist of the psychiatric screening tool that they use, which is called the Edinburgh Depression Scale.
Right.
Which is like 10 questions long, and that's totally inaccurate. Now, they're not looking for physical problems that actually cause depression. They're not talking about supporting women through the changes of motherhood. They're just talking about labeling them and putting them on drugs if they have any symptoms of depression.
And, of course, the thing is, that where does the federal government get off telling doctors what to do? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Radio Liberty, and of course, Amy's been telling me about her website, and she has all sorts of articles up there, medical articles, with some of them studies done on rats, of course, where they placed pregnant rats or mice onto these antidepressant drugs, and all sorts of problems as far as their mind is concerned. But the biggest thing is, what does it do to the unborn infant? And of course, there have been apparently studies that show that the children whose mother's been placed on antidepressants during their pregnancy, these children have had all sorts of problems with anxiety. Anything else besides anxiety? You mentioned some of them actually have cardiac problems as well.
Life-threatening heart defects.
In other words,
life-threatening lung diseases when they're born. They can even die from what looks like sudden infant death syndrome,
right.
But it's actually just the fact that they were exposed to high levels of serotonin and toxic drugs while their organs were forming. They're just born with broken bodies that fail, or else they can get serotonin syndrome, which causes all the organs to shut down.
Do they actually cause serotonin syndrome?
Sometimes I've seen it listed in the FDA MedWatch database as a death caused by serotonin syndrome.
And of course, basically what these drugs do is inhibit the reabsorption of serotonin, and of course then they create artificially high levels of serotonin. The idea being, oh, women are depressed because they have low levels of serotonin, so we've got to boost up the serotonin level, whereas the truth is, by boosting the serotonin level, you predate not only problems from the mother, homicidal and suicidal thoughts and frank psychosis, on one hand, but on the other hand, of course, what does it do to the child? Oh, we're told, mothers, you know, you should not be eating fish. You're going to get mercury. It'll hurt your child. You should not be smoking. You should not be drinking alcohol. Here, why don't you take these pills?
Yeah, it's really ironic, too, that the March of Dimes is actually a co-sponsor of this bill. They tell you not to drink even one cup of coffee.
Don't drink one cup of coffee, but take this drug that's going to either abort your child or destroy their mind or their heart or their body.
Yeah, I don't know if the March of Dimes thinks that they're going to get more funding for researching birth defects if there are more birth defects or why they would do this, but it's totally absurd. I mean,
Well, I think we live in a world gone mad, Amy, and there's only a few of us out here really sane, see what's going on, and everybody thinks we're crazy. But that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, trying to make people understand that there really are problems, and just because your doctor tells you, he may be the greatest guy in the world, he may really care about you, but he's being lied to by his medical organizations, he's being lied to by the drug companies, he's being lied to by the detail people, but he's also being lied to by the officials of the Federal Drug Administration, who are more interested in the funding that they get from the drug companies and the fact that their stock is going to go up. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, many of the people there at the FDA actually have stock in the companies that manufacture the drugs that they're telling us are safe. And, of course, if you look at the initial studies on Prozac and compare, you know, Prozac with, of course, a placebo, there was about a 1% difference, you know, 1% difference whether you took the Prozac or not. And those studies have all been suppressed here in the United States. There's not one doctor in 1,000 who has ever seen those. If you've seen those studies, Amy, that suggest that Prozac really doesn't do any good compared
yes,
with the
and,
placebo?
Also, I think that the positive studies that they did publish were fixed because I've read that they administered other drugs along with the SSRIs, like benzodiazepines, in order to keep the person from going psycho and killing people if they're kind of like sedated. And also I know that they kept certain populations out of the studies, like suicidal people were kept out, and then they totally concealed any suicides that occurred or any homicides that occurred and put them under a category called like emotional liability or lability or one of those. And so they just totally lie and they get away with it because they write their own reports. They write their own labels.
And, of course, you must understand that the original studies on Prozac were not very convincing at all that it was effective. That 1% difference between whether you took a placebo, and I forgot whether it was 25% of the people on placebo got better and 26% of the people on Prozac got better, something like that. But the double-blind studies did not show it was a very effective drug. But, of course, the most important thing is they suppressed the suicidal and homicidal programs and complications, of course, have resulted. And then, of course, we see the end result of it at many of our universities where people on these sort of drugs or our high schools, they start killing other people. And there was an incident just within the last few days. And the only thing it said was, well, this young man had quit taking his medication. And, of course, he then walked into his former school he'd attended and went up on the stage and pulled out a couple of guns and started shooting people in the audience. This is within the last 2 weeks. And, of course, you're not even hearing about these sort of things. Why? Because they're all related, most of them, every one of them is related one way or another to psychotropic medication. But we can't let the doctors, we certainly can't let the American people know what's being done to them. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Amy Philo. And Amy, certainly, Chris, you're really dedicated to getting the information out. Do you think we're reaching the doctors at all? Do you think the average doctor has any idea he's been lied to by the drug companies and by the detail people and by his medical organizations and, most of all, by the Federal Drug Administration and the CDC, supposedly there to protect our health?
I haven't met any doctors that are, and I even have personal friends that I've been friends with for, you know, 15 years, and when they saw my story on the news, one of them actually wrote to my husband saying, well, it looks like Amy had postpartum psychosis. So I wrote him back, I'm like, well, actually what I had was postpartum Zoloft-induced psychosis, not postpartum psychosis. So, I mean, I don't believe that they're paying attention. And the ACOG paper that I was telling you about, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology physician paper on psychiatric drugs, they go through and talk about how SSRIs are the safest drug there is and that it's perfectly fine for pregnant women to take them and nursing moms. So I think they're just doing whatever the drug companies want and just going along with it completely. And even my former doctor who's a naturopath, he prescribed these things as though they were candy.
And unfortunately, the doctor really has no idea about all these studies that are out there showing how dangerous they are. But, of course, how many doctors can spend, you know, 24 hours a day reading medical journals? They just can't do it. But you talk to the doctors that I know and I trust who are really doing the research on this. They think that, of course, these things are so frightening and so dangerous, and yet the average individual has no idea what's really going on. But we're, of course, talking to Amy Philo, who's on the front lines of trying to get this information out. And can anything be done about the Federal Drug Administration that is so dangerous for the health of the American people? Because you never get rid of a bureaucrat. It would be far better off if we did away with the organization totally and we left this up to the states rather than a federal bureaucracy. We've got some of the finest bureaucrats there that money could buy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it totally is run by drug company money, and it doesn't seem like it's fixable. But, I mean, the thing I've been doing is just completely ignoring anything they do and trying to find safe ways to take care of my health that aren't going to be like pharmaceutical products. But until they fix it, I'm just not trusting anything they say.
And I think it's so important that we recognize we cannot believe what they say. You cannot believe your doctor because he's not getting the truth. You've got to get the truth, and you need to reach your doctor and get him educated as to the danger of what he's doing. I don't think he wants to hurt anyone. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Amy Philo. And Amy, of course, has taken unto herself to collect the information on Prozac. And there's all sorts of information out there in the experimental literature, both animal and human studies, showing the danger of these products. And yet the American Academy of Obstetrics and Gynecology is telling OBGYN, people to go ahead, doctors to go ahead and do it, and they trust their organization. Well, I tell you that I was in medical politics for some time, and of course the worst danger of patients and of the doctors was, of course, the people who spent years working themselves into key positions in organized medicine, and they were not there to help people. Many of them there were actually to do damage and of course, to aggrandize and financially benefit themselves. And they sold out the doctors and the patients time after time after time. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Amy, would you like to get your website out and information where people can get access to the truth about the Prozac and these other psychotropic drugs that they're giving to pregnant women? And then, of course, what can be done to stop the mother's bill? The mother's bill, if that gets passed, we're going to destroy the lives of, you know, millions of unborn children, and, of course, lead to a massive increase in miscarriages, and yet the average obstetrician has no idea that what you're recommending is totally harmful. Go ahead.
My website is uniteforlife.org. That's UNITEFORLIFE.
Uniteforlife.com.
.org.
Uniteforlife.org. And what will people find if they get onto your website?
Well, most of the articles are listed on the main page. And I have a whole section on Nothing But the Mother's Act. So I have different endorsements, and I have the information to contact all of the senators that are making this decision right now.
Now, is this in committee, or is this actually going
to
the floor?
It's in committee.
It
hasn't been marked up yet, but hopefully it won't be marked up. But I'm not going to count my chickens yet, because I know that the other side is pushing hard, and they've got the most money, and they have...
There are billions of dollars at stake. And, of course, what they want to do is get the government, the federal government, to mandate that the health care personnel will make these recommendations. Women take these drugs. And, you know, of course, the average woman out there, if her doctor tells her that she should be on a medication and, you know, it's going to be good for the child, she'll do anything to protect that child without realizing, of course, she may very well destroy its life. She may destroy the child within her, or that child may come out severely crippled. And of course, what happens to these women who are on these drugs for a long period of time during the pregnancy, when the whole physiology of their body is turned topsy-turvy? Do we have any idea what this does to them, you know, during the postpartum period?
Yeah, the longer you're on an SSRI, the more likely you are to have a, quote, relapse of depression. But what that really is the drug causing you to become more depressed as it damages your brain. It can also damage your heart. It can cause serotonin syndrome, like Anna Nicole Smith died from.
No, I'm sorry. Thyroid. I'm sorry. Was she on? She was some sort of an antidepressant.
Yes,
she was. Well, did she die of the antidepressant, or did she die of this so-called antidepressant syndrome?
Oh, yes, she died of serotonin syndrome. And that was caused by all the drugs she was on. She was on antidepressants and a bunch of other ones.
And so this was not simply a matter of depression, but this actually influences the various organ systems of the body?
Right. When your body gets overloaded with serotonin, all the vital organs can be constricted, like your lungs. They don't work as well. And, I mean, it just, like, totally shuts them down. If you get way too much serotonin, and that's what Heath Ledger died from. And that's, you hear a lot about this with people mixing, like, dextromethorphan from cold medicine with other antidepressants or other drugs, migraine medicine, and it can cause death within 24 to 48 hours if you mix those. I don't think most people know about it, but that's one of the reasons they stopped recommending cold medicine for children, is because the dextromethorphan was causing a lot of coma and death.
I'm sorry, now, what do the cold medicines do? How are they interacting with these psychotropic drugs or what?
Yes, dextromethorphan is an ingredient in cold medicine, most cold medicine or flu medicine. It's a serotonergic drug. Also, like, these women who are pregnant who are taking these drugs, when they go into labor, their babies are already under stress from being on the drugs, and when you combine that with fentanyl and other certain medications and labor at hospitals, that can cause the baby to go into distress and die. I mean, a lot of stillbirths are probably caused just by the baby being put under too much stress from the drug itself. And then when you mix that with fentanyl, that's like, there's no chance. I mean, it's a miracle to me that any of these babies survive it, but a lot of them do.
And did you say that almost a third of pregnant women today are, did I misunderstand you, almost a third of pregnant women today are on some sort of a psychotropic drug?
That's what the ACOG position paper says. It says one-third of American pregnant women are taking psychiatric drugs at some point during their pregnancy.
And then, of course, we wonder why one in every six American children has a neurodegenerative or neurological defect in their brain. Why, of course, so many children are miscarried, and of course, in later life, what does it do to the children in later life if it doesn't affect their heart or that? But what does it do to their brains later in life when suddenly they're a product of of these high serotonin levels, you know, when they're in their mother's womb? What does that do to the brain development? Do we have any idea?
Well, I think I've read things about how it just causes all the circuitry to not form the way it normally would, and it can cause lifelong depression and anxiety and increased stress. But I would think that anybody who, you know, like maybe in the 70s their mom was taking like acid or something similar to serotonergic drugs that we have now, their prescription, like LSD or PCP, they could have had that in their body when they were pregnant. You might see a lot of these people who are like 30 or 40 now being kind of weird and messed up, and they don't really know why they are, and they think they have a chemical imbalance, but really they're just damaged from whatever was given to them when they were unborn.
Well, I think that it's, Sydney, it's such a great human tragedy we're seeing unfolding today. So many of the things that are going on, the American people cannot believe would be happening intentionally. As we've pointed out many times in the past, back at the beginning of the last century, one person in about 33 developed a cancer. Today it's one person in two. The government, of course, high government officials know exactly what they're doing. The average individual, the average person doesn't. But there are people who are really dedicated to population control. They are actually concealing effective treatments for cancer. If you don't believe that, you need to get our 4-tape set on the New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians. They're people who look at the world entirely different. If you have not yet read my Population Control Agenda monograph, you need to get it. And there, of course, you'll see the quotation from Jacques Cousteau. Jacques Cousteau, that man who just loved, of course, to swim with the dolphins, talking about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. 350,000 people a day. If you'd like the pages from the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991 where he makes that statement, we'd be glad to provide it for you. I mean, he makes Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Mao look like pikers. None of them were as successful as Jacques Cousteau's agents have been in our society. And, of course, there's a certain mindset on the part of the ruling class. That, of course, we common people certainly are just really problems. Useless eaters are, of course, going to eventually interfere with using up their natural resources. They don't want us using their natural resources. They say there are too many people in the world, and we've got to get rid of countless billions of them. And there really are people who intend to get rid of billions of people. So hard to understand that. I know I found it very difficult to believe that when I was involved in the AIDS battle in organized medicine. I couldn't figure out why we weren't doing the logical things to try to save people's lives. That's what I was a physician was trained to do. Until I talked to a physician one time who said, "You don't understand. We have a different worldview than you do. We have a different worldview than you do." And that's what it's all about. They really don't value human life. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Amy Philo, who's on the front lines of this battle, trying to get women to realize, of course, what's being done to them and to their unborn children, and then, of course, trying to stop the Mother's Bill, which is a federal legislation being pushed by the drug companies because they want to get billions of dollars more. And, of course, what they want to do is mandate that the healthcare personnel will be forced by federal law to tell every woman that she may be a potential candidate for, you know, postpartum depression, and how do you prevent postpartum depression? Well, you start on these drugs, which certainly guarantee postpartum depression and suicide and homicide, but then, well, Amy, certainly, do you think this legislation is going to get through, or do you think it's going to be stopped? Or what can the average individual out in the listening audience do besides going to your website and once again give that address?
Unite4life.org, and I have a petition and a letter writing software program called CapWiz. They're both listed near the top of the website, and if you send a letter to your senator on the CapWiz program and then sign my petition and then just tell everybody about this and have them call the Senate. I don't want to say that it's not going to pass, but I know there are a couple of people in the Senate who are trying to stop it. But it did pass the House by a 2/3 majority last October.
And you never heard, nobody even heard about that. They kept, this is a stealth bill. I mean, the drug companies don't want the public to understand what's going on. After all, if we get this legislation through, think what had happened to the stock of their company and their stock options and their bonuses. And so they send the lobbyists out there, a lot of lobbyists back there in Washington, D.C., pushing in favor of this, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. And also, all the groups that are sponsoring it, they're going to be eligible to get grants from the federal government if it passes. And all they have to do is help to make sure that the doctors are complying and the mothers are complying. So one of the organizations is called Postpartum Support International, and they have people ready to go in almost every state, ready to enforce this bill and get some money. And it's just disturbing. They're going to give money to homeless shelters and migrant health centers and hospices to ensure that women are screened and treated with drugs. I mean, can you imagine being a dying woman, like, in a hospice, and they come in and they're, like, trying to find out if you're depressed, put you on drugs? Of course you're going to be depressed if you're dying. It's just, it's insane. And I don't think they're innocent at all, because some of them are, like, there's a group of obstetric and neonatal nurses, and one of them came to my YouTube profile and started posting on my video that I was lying and that none of the information was true. I was like, well, excuse me, but you're a neonatal nurse, so don't you get more money and more work if there are babies in there in the NICU suffering? I mean, pretty obvious that these groups, like, do have a financial incentive to pass this bill.
And, of course, the more damaged children there are, the more people are going to be in the nurseries.
Yeah, and also...
But I think most medical personnel really don't understand. I believe, of course, the people in the drug companies do. I think the lobbyists do. I think the senators, the finest politicians money could buy back in Washington, D.C., understand what's going on. But I don't think that the average obstetrician really understands what's happening.
Probably not. But I know that, like, for example, the people pushing for the bill that they'd like to claim that it's their bill, Postpartum Support International, they started writing me emails, and I wrote them back, and I asked how come they were recommending these drugs to women. They're not giving them warnings about what could happen to them. And, I mean, they knew exactly what happened to me because I told them, and they watched my YouTube video, but there was no response. And another woman I know wrote to them and talked about how her son had died because of Zyprexa. So the response was, oh, I'm sorry your son died, and then turn around and be like, okay, well, it doesn't matter because everyone still needs to take the drugs. Like, they don't have any remorse, and they don't have any, like, they don't care about warnings. They just want to push drugs.
And, of course, the thing is that there are really people out there who have a different worldview, who are unconcerned about human suffering. Very hard for people in America to believe that. All you need to do is look what happened in Nazi Germany. Look what happened in Stalin's Russia. Look what happened in Mao's China, and what's going on in Mao's China today. Look what happened in Rwanda, where 800,000 Christians were hacked to death with machetes, while President Clinton was telling the people on his staff, don't refer to Rwanda as genocide, then we'd be forced to do something. And then the ultimate hypocrisy when he goes over and with a choked voice at the Rwanda airport said, oh, if we'd just known what was going on. They knew exactly what was going on, and they were murdering 800,000 Christians. But that's all right. These people have a different worldview. And no wonder Bill Clinton is smiling all the time. No wonder they got $109 million, he and Hillary, over the last 5 years of gifts and payoffs from the people, of course, for services rendered. So, basically, Amy is out in the front line, and you don't get paid for what you do, do you, Amy?
No, and in fact, I just spent $2,500 going to Washington for me and a friend to lobby against this. Now I'm broke, so...
Well, God bless you. You must have a husband who loves you and is willing to put up with you and allow you to do what you're doing.
Yeah, he's really wonderful, but also, I was going to say something else. Yeah, I remember now. It was that you were talking about population control and... a couple of days ago, I got a phone call from a pro-life group, and she told me that she had read on the Postpartum Support International website that some of these abortion rights groups are actually sponsoring the bill. And I had never noticed this before, but there are three major abortion rights groups sponsoring the bill.
That's the Mother's Bill you're talking about.
The Mother's Act. And there's no logical reason why this would be their territory, unless you think about the fact that the drugs cause spontaneous abortion. And I guess any legislation that has to do with babies dying, I guess they want to make sure that no one protests it, because maybe if people are protesting babies dying, then the government might recognize the baby's death, and that would give too much legitimacy to unborn children. So
I think it's so difficult, you know, Amy, for the average individual to accept that there really could be people out there who want to kill off literally billions of people, that there is a population control agenda, and of course it's being enacted. Anybody would like to read about it, go to my website, radioliberty.com, and read the population control agenda monograph, or if you get any of our products, we'll be glad to send you a copy for nothing. Understand, there are people with a different worldview. Only then, of course, can you really understand what's going on. Our guest has been Amy Philo. Amy, once again, your website?
It's uniteforlife.org.
United
what you're saying
for,
about population control, they're actually going to be doing their research on minorities. So they can kill some unborn minority babies, and I guess they'll be happy with the bill.
Well, God bless you for what you're doing, and keep up the good work. We'll talk to you later. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Amy, are you still there? I think we lost Amy, but I think it's so important for our people to understand that there really are people who really want to kill off the vast majority of the population of the world. And you look and you say, that could not be true. Well, you know, I understand exactly how you feel, because I felt that way when I was in organized medicine. And we were trying, of course, to get organized medicine to advocate that we treat the AIDS epidemic as we would any public health issue. And if we try to stop its spread by trying to identify who had the disease and keep them from spreading it to other people. We wanted to do routine testing, and they said, oh, you can't do routine testing. Why, you might get a false positive test. You can't do routine testing. You'll drive the disease underground. You can't do routine testing. It's too expensive to test people to find out, you know, whether they have this disease or not. And certainly if people know that you're going to test them, why, they won't go to the doctor. Oh, you can't, of course, use any of the standard public health approaches, because it could lead to discrimination. If we found out that people had the disease and were spreading it, it could lead to discrimination. And all of these sophistic arguments, and we can't certainly do routine premarital testing for HIV. I mean, after all, it wouldn't do any good. Most people have already had intimate relations before they get married, so why bother to do any testing? And as I pointed out to one of the high officials of the CDC, you know that isn't true. People could have relationships 100 times and never contract the disease, but a lifelong intimate relationship will certainly spread the disease from one spouse to the other. Why don't you want to stop the spread of this disease? The reply was, well, what are you going to do? You find out somebody's got the disease. You got to pass a law that they can't ever get married? And you suddenly realize there are people out there, and this was number two man in the division of the dealing with AIDS when I was back there. And then we wonder, of course, why we have an epidemic that's killed 40 or 50 million people throughout the world. And of course, millions and millions of people are HIV infected. They're all going to die in Botswana. 46% of the pregnant women there. The women are tested, and they tested all of them, are HIV positive. And they're HIV positive, and they're all going to die. That is either the greatest public health failure of all time, or one of the most successful genocidal programs. And ladies and gentlemen, it took me a long time to come to the conclusion that these people are not stupid. They know what they're doing. They have a different view, and they will tell you what they do. And you read our publications, read the things we put out, it'll become very obvious to you there are people who really are part of this agenda. They want to eliminate the majority of the world's population. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Amy Philo. We're going to try to put together a four-tape set on Prozac, the information you need to know. And, of course, think of the harm we're doing to the children who survive or are not aborted. The incidence of abortion doubles if you put these women onto these medications. And, of course, the doctors are doing it. According to Amy, almost a third of pregnant women now are on some sort of psychotropic medication, and they want to get it up to two-thirds or three-quarters. And I understand this is being done, in my estimation, as part of a population control agenda. Now, if you doubt that that is really true, let me suggest you hear my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. It's available on DVD. My talk on the planned population reduction, my talk on population control, and they're all available on DVD. You need to get the information, and then, of course, you need to get my monograph, the Population Control Agenda monograph. It's up on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or certainly, we'll be glad to send you a free copy. If you get any of the other items, just ask for the Population Control Agenda monograph. It's pretty good. In fact, I'm flattered that Dr. Lorraine Day keeps ordering them from us so she can send it out to her people. And I don't know anybody who's smarter or certainly better informed on what's going on than Dr. Lorraine Day. So that's the Population Control Agenda monograph. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on population control. It goes into first of the outlawing of DDT, and it wasn't the DDT was dangerous. It was the safest of all the insecticides we've ever had, far safer than anything we're using today. It was outlawed not because it wasn't effective or it was dangerous. It was outlawed because it was saving so many human lives from malaria. And since it was outlawed back in 73, we've killed off about 100 million people in the underdeveloped parts of the world. The majority of them are children. But if you understand that DDT was saving so many lives, you can understand why they wanted it outlawed. And you need to get the facts about DDT, as it's covered in our four-tape set on population control. Once you understand that, you can understand so much of what's going on today. Why, of course, the FDA allowed the use of Vioxx, knowing full well it would kill between 60,000 and 160,000 Americans by heart attack or stroke, and it really didn't do any good. And certainly you need to go, of course, to my website, RadioLiberty.com, and read Dr. David Graham's testimony before the United States Senate. That's RadioLiberty.com. Read Dr. Graham's testimony. The best thing to do is go onto your internet and simply Google in the word Radio Liberty and then Dr. David Graham. Dr. David Graham, you can pull it up. That's how I find where all these things are on my own website. We can thank, of course, Google for doing a good job. So certainly read what Dr. David Graham said. He was in charge of drug safety at the FDA, and he was literally threatened for telling the truth about Vioxx. And, of course, so much of what goes on today is totally irresponsible, but it's even more than that. It's deadly. If you want to know about the drug companies, you need the book What You Should Know About the Drug Companies by Dr. Marshall Angel. What You Should Know About the Drug Companies by Dr. Marshall Angel, who is a former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, a staff at Harvard Medical School, and she won't even answer the emails we've sent to her. She's come under such persecution for daring to tell the truth about the drug companies, and they're irresponsible. In fact, they're deadly actions in America. And then again, my talk, None Dare Call It Genocide, my talk, Planned Population Reduction, my talk, Population Control, and the four tapes out on population control. You won't get this information any other place. And if you get any of them, you get the copy of my Population Control Agenda monograph free of charge if you simply ask for it. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America, our mothers, our children, are under attack today. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders, our ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Our website, RadioLiberty.com.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IR PRN USA Radio News. I'm Greg Moore. Tax rebates should begin showing up in some people's bank accounts today, but analysts say the economic stimulus is likely going to be spent on basic necessities as lower-income shoppers deal with higher gas and food prices. Another big chunk is expected to go toward paying down debt. Howard Dean says he doesn't know which one, but either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton needs to quit the Democratic presidential race once the primaries finish in June. The Democratic Party chairman says that the party needs unity before it holds its nominating convention. And the Reverend Jeremiah Wright says the criticism of his fiery sermons amounts to an attack on the black church. Barack Obama's former pastor says black church tradition is misunderstood by what he calls the dominant culture in the U.S. He says he hopes the controversy means his church will, quote, no longer be invisible. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Sometimes you feel like you're just a number. To the banks, the credit card companies, the lenders and financial institutions, you are just a number, your credit score. And unless that number is above their standards, you get stuck paying more for everything. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. If you don't have perfect credit, banks will either take advantage of you or slam the door in your face. But I want to send you a free tape that shows you how my proven system will wipe the slate clean once and for all. My system doesn't just raise your credit score, it will permanently insulate your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.